faith is a power little understood by mankind. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Luke 17:19. To understand this wonderful power that is available to all mankind, we must first understand the origin of our thoughts and emotions and how they arise. With this understanding, your faith is increased proportionately. We know very well everybody is talking about faith. And the statement, "Thy faith hath made thee whole," is a statement that is in the point of the tongue of nearly every individual. But they do not know it. And when they are affected by any condition, someone will say to them, "Well, thy faith will make thee whole." But that does not affect the individual who is suffering. It is necessary for the individual who is suffering to understand why he is suffering, and also understand the origin of thought, that thought originates within the mind of the individual and not outside it. Reactions to conditions in the body, reactions to conditions external to the self, is very often the means of our mental activity. Our mental thoughts, our mental action is more often the result of our reactions to conditions within ourselves and conditions outside ourselves. Therefore, is it not so that we are further conditioning ourselves by these reactions? But if we can discern the origin of our thoughts and see that our thoughts arise from these external conditions, we will find that we can eliminate these things and eliminate the thoughts that affect us by discerning them. It is not a very easy process, but it's the only process to relieve you of the conditions, of conditioning. When we are conditioned, then we are no longer free, isn't that so? If we condition ourselves by our reactions to things external to ourselves, if we further condition ourselves by the reaction to our own conditions within ourselves, do we not further condition ourselves? How are we to overcome this? Only by knowing what we are doing. When we are aware of the origin of our thinking and the action of our thoughts, we will know the result as well. Unfortunately, most people are blind to this fact, with the result that their thinking is merely imitative or reactionary, having no value as a creative force. If the mind is clogged with weeds, if the mind is clogged with thoughts of fear, anxiety, and doubt, how can there be any creative force in that mind? Don't you see this, that the mind is the vehicle through which you express yourself? It's the screen, as it were, and it separates you between yourself and the manifestation. If the mind is clear and free, then the manifestation will be clear and free also. But if the mind is clogged, how can the manifestation be free? Freedom comes only through a consciousness that is free. Free from understanding the source of thinking. So that the reactions to conditions external to yourselves and the reactions to conditions within yourselves are understood. When Jesus said, "Believe, you have received, and you shall have," he was speaking from direct knowledge of a science he knew to be infallible. Thinking is prayer, thinking is creative, thinking is also destructive and constructive, according to the cause of our thinking. So if your reactions to things external to yourself is in the negative, are you not creating those conditions? Thinking is manifesting, because the consciousness alone has the power to think. Consciousness is in life, and life is creative. Therefore, according to your consciousness, according to the awareness of your reactions to things external to yourselves, then you will be freer, for the simple reason you will understand what you are doing. If your thinking is based upon lack, your positive action will be filled with aggression and depression. If your thinking is based upon craving, then much the same result will be obtained. If your thinking is based upon past experiences and future hopes, then there will be confusion. There are hundreds of ways I could mention upon which your thinking is based. The experiences of the past is very often the foundation of your thinking. If your experiences are good and happy and cheerful, you will very often express that particular feeling. If your experiences have not been happy, have not been successful, but have been fraught with difficulties, then you will begin to express according to your feelings. If your future hopes are elevated, then you will probably express according to your future hopes. But there will be confusion between the past and the future. Your feelings of the past and your hopes of the future will be confused, will they not? Therefore, they will be nullified completely or neutralized because of your experiences of the past and your hopes of the future. But what have you done? Are you not living in a fantasy? While you've lost the opportunity of real creativeness in the present, life does not live in past experiences. Life does not live in future hopes. Life only lives now, at this very moment. And unless you understand that, then you will react to those conditions of the past, your hopes of the future, and you will lose this thing that is real now. Learn what you are doing, to be aware of the source of your thinking, to know if your thinking is the result of past experiences or your thoughts as the result of reactions to things external or conditions within the self. How are you then going to free your thought from these things? By discerning what you are doing. It's very simple, but it is necessary for you to begin to understand yourselves. The saying, "When you open your mouth, you put your foot in it," is a saying with a great deal of truth in it. When we are ignorant of the law of thought or the action of the mind, we place little value upon our thinking. Yet we are affected by the effect of our thought, and naturally we rebel. This ignorant reaction is proof that we do not understand faith. So in one way, we are continually thinking and acting. And then we try to bring faith in to overcome this action, this negative condition, this thinking. Don't you see then that your faith is useless? That you have no faith at all? Because your mind is confused. It is like your experience of the past and your hopes of the future. Faith is the power that sustains the thought. It is concentrated attention based upon understanding. If our thought is bound or influenced by any external condition, then there cannot be pure thinking directed from an understanding consciousness. If then you are bound, which nearly everyone is, because you do not discern your thoughts, how your thinking is rising into the consciousness, which is nothing more than the reaction to conditions external to yourselves. If you are not aware of your thoughts, your actions, your reactions, you can never free yourselves from those conditions. Therefore, faith is useless to you. Don't you see what I mean? That faith is of no value to you because it is caught up in the whirlpool of your own thoughts. That's why majority of people never get better. Even the word faith is not faith. The idea of faith is not faith. Faith comes into operation when the individual understands himself or herself, understands their thoughts, their actions and reactions to past experiences, to future hopes, to conditions within the self and conditions external to the self. If you are aware of your thinking in regard to these things, then you can have faith. Because faith comes into operation immediately. You discern yourself and the ways of the self. When you see the way that your mind is moving, you will know that it's your own creation. Behind your own creation is a creation of perfection, which remains always stable, never changing. It is perfect harmony and peace. How are you to arrive at this perfect harmony and peace? Surely not through a mind that is confused, not through a mind that's continually reacting to conditions external to the self, conditions internal, and experience of the past and hopes of the future. If the mind is confused, how can you then reach this that is not confused? Faith is the result of knowing, not the result of a faith or a word of faith or a belief. It's the result of knowing. And you can never reach this state of harmony, which is eternal and ever-present, until such time as you have discerned the inharmony in your own minds and how this inharmony comes about. If you can discern how this inharmony comes about, then it will dissolve away because you will no longer be caught up in it. You will see that you are the creator of it, and therefore the self will emerge free. The real self is that self that is in every other self. But the illusionary self is the personal self, where there is separation. In your own mind at the present time, you feel that you are separated from me or from each other. If that separation then is still in your mind, you can never know what is freedom, because freedom cannot come through separation, because you'll always be reacting to conditions external to yourself in your relation to the other. But if you can view yourself as you would view somebody else in relation to another, then you'll be able to see what you are doing. Under those circumstances, then, you will find that there is a freedom comes, because you will no longer begin to react to conditions external to the self, nor conditions within the self, but you will understand them. There is then a reality comes into operation, a feeling of truth, a feeling of oneness, where there is no inharmony of any kind. And the consciousness of this harmony, which is complete and perfect in itself, manifests itself through the mind and body of the individual. Why? Because thought is electromagnetic. It's a force that is moving out into the ether. It is like you become like a broadcasting station, broadcasting electromagnetic waves into the ether. These electromagnetic waves carried through the ether interpenetrates the very walls of the atoms of your body. They not only do that, but they merge outwards beyond you into the atmosphere and also through the ether into other people's minds and bodies. You have a great responsibility. Now, when these electromagnetic waves of energy emitted from a consciousness, they have the effect of causing harmony or disharmony within the organism of the body. How does harmony come into operation? For the simple reason that the individual consciousness becomes the universal consciousness. And the universal consciousness is continually emitting harmony continuously throughout the whole of the universe, breaking down all the inharmony. Therefore, you become one with this complete wholeness that is harmony, creating vibrations everywhere, and you fall in line with it. All the inharmonious conditions in your mind and body begin to dissolve away. But if you do not discern continuously, then your reactions to things external to yourself, you'll be caught up in these things again. Jesus said, watch and pray. It was a continual watching, a continual awareness, lest you're caught up in these things which is external to yourself, the inharmonious conditions within yourself, or past experiences or hopes for the future. Is that not so, that your thoughts are all built up from that? Now think. Can you look into your mind and say that your thought building is not built up from those things? You must examine your minds to see. Then when you examine your mind, you will see what you are doing, and you will refrain from doing it any longer. Discerning then is the secret. Faith is evident when there is an understanding of the mechanism of thinking. I have so often repeated to you, unless you can discern clearly from what your thoughts arise, you will be caught up in the things that influence your thinking. So if you're caught up in the things that influence your thinking, you're no longer free, are you? When faith is evident, there is an awareness of power and direction of thought, uninfluenced by any outside effects. I'll read that again, because it's most important that you recognize this phrase, because within it is the secret. And you can then think deeply and come to the realization of what is behind. That is the great secret. Meditation is a method that people have tried to find out that which was behind. But have you ever found out through your meditation that which was behind? No, you could not, for the simple reason that you do not know how to meditate. You meditate on some idea. You meditate on an image. And you create the image and you fasten your mind upon the image and you think that you are finding that which is beyond. How can you find that thing which is beyond when your mind is concentrated on an image, on an idea? Don't you see that is self-hypnotization? That you just hypnotize the mind into a form of, I would say, dullness? You dull the mind because you hypnotize it. You concentrate your mind on an idea. But all the time while you're concentrating your mind on an idea, there's hundreds of other ideas coming up in the mind in conflict to that idea which you are concentrating upon. Is that not so? Then while you say, I come to the conclusion that you can't meditate at all, neither you can. From the very beginning, you started the wrong way, therefore the end will be wrong because the beginning was wrong. You cannot meditate that way. That is not meditation. True meditation is to find that which is behind everything. But you can never do it by concentrating on an idea. You're going away from it. How are you to find that which is behind everything? By cleansing the mind and clearing the mind of all the relative things, all the conditions, unconditioning of the mind, by dissolving the condition of the mind. That is meditation. Meditation is not concentrating your mind on an idea and holding your mind there to the exclusion of every other idea, because it cannot be. True meditation is discerning your mind to free your mind so that wisdom and love will manifest. But can wisdom and love manifest in a mind that is caught up in all these conditions which produce separation, antagonisms, doubt, and all those feelings? If you discern then what you are doing, you are then meditating. When faith is in evidence, there is awareness of power and direction of thought, uninfluenced by any outside effects. The conscious awareness holds the mind directed towards the object or subject in question. In this attitude of mind, time and space are lost sight of. When we are completely aware, there is an attention in which there is neither time nor space. But before that attention comes, that attention is held without a form of force, of the will, without desire. If you try to force your concentration through will to the exclusion of everything else, then you are not meditating. But if there comes into your mind, through the expression of every thought in your mind, rising to the surface, understanding every idea and movement in the mind, then these ideas and movements will not rise again into the consciousness because you have dealt with them. But if you do not deal with every thought, with every idea, it rises in the mind, it will repeat itself again and again to disturb this silence of yours. How are you to receive silence then? How are you to gain this attention in which there is neither time nor space? Because this attention holds itself without will. It holds itself because of the mind that is clear and cleansed, and where there is no conflict, no antagonisms, no duality, no oppositions. Surely you can see what I am driving at now. This is the way the masters get clearness of mind, and they teach those who want to have clearness of mind too, so that when the mind is clear of all those things, that which is attention in itself, perfect in itself, is reality, which is not brought about by a concentration through will or desire, but the expression of that which is behind all creation. There is but one perfect mode of action used in creation, whether it be the creation in infinite mind or a creation in man's mind. The mode of right action must be the same, because man's mind is the reflection of the infinite mind. This cannot be otherwise, for the simple reason that man cannot think outside the infinite mind, and the mechanism of the consciousness, can it be other than the consciousness of the infinite manifesting in man's mind, because there cannot be another consciousness, the infinite being infinite? Unless this is understood, the thought will be a contradiction of itself. How can you think outside the infinite mind, for there is no outside the infinite? Therefore you must think in the infinite mind. You are made in the image and likeness of the Creator. That is a truth, because you cannot be made any other way. If you are made in any other way, you would have to be made outside the infinite, and that is an impossibility, because there is no outside the infinite. Therefore the infinite must be expressing himself. Therefore the infinite, which is the creator of all things, must use his own substance, his own consciousness, his own life, and all that is his, to create within himself. Therefore you are that creation. But the clarity of mind is so essential before you can reach that stage of understanding. If you're caught up in a belief, if your thoughts, your emotions not tinged with the belief is the foundation of your thinking, is it not? And your thoughts are built upon a belief? But you do not know whether your belief is true or not. As you progress, you find that your belief is wrong. So therefore all your thinking falls to pieces, and the foundation of your thinking is no longer existent. How are you then going to build another structure of thought from another belief, from a little belief a little bit higher up? Are you going to build then your structure of thinking of on a belief a little bit further on, a little bit further on, while that is cast away and that is cast away, and you have no longer any foundation for your structure? Don't you see that if you build your structure from the things external to the self, which are effects, the conditions within yourself, which are very often self-created through illusion, from the past experiences which influence your thinking, which may be sorrowful or joyful, whatever the case may be, or your hopes of the future, is there any basis upon which you can think a structure that can remain permanently? Of course not. Well, how can you build a structure that remains permanently? By understanding that which is experiences the past is influencing your thinking, by understanding that hopes of the future is influencing your thinking, by understanding that your reaction to things external to yourself is influencing your thinking, And the conditions within yourself is influencing your thinking. You will see how false they are, and yet you'll come to the conclusion that the only structure of your thinking is the present, which is ever-present life, which is neither past nor future, which is not conditioned in any way whatsoever. Therefore, your thoughts will not be conditioned, but will be pure. But before your thoughts can be pure, you must recognize the fact that your mind is conditioned by your reactions to things external to yourself, by conditions within yourself, by your past experiences, by your hopes of the future. If your thought is then conditioned, it is not free. And you are not free because you're caught up in your conditioned thought. You can be one thing or another. You can be a creative genius through faith and understanding, or you can be a destroyer through ignorance. Or you can be an ordinary weed in the middle of the stream, buffeted about from side to side. Only when you realize that you are the ever-present life that gives rise to creative genius does your inspiration come. So your faith is increased accordingly. There is a lot of giants of ignorance in the world. In the political field, in the business world, we see plenty of them. But a real creative genius is rare. When you live in the ever-present life, giving expression to it, you will have a power and faith that nothing can shake. So we see giants of ignorance everywhere. But as their foundation is based on an illusion, the whole thing must fall to pieces. And as it does, nothing can exist as a structure, either mental or physical, political or religious, can ever stand unless it is based upon the true foundation of the oneness of all things. If there is sectionalism, if there is creed and separation, if there is political separation, if there's dogmas, ideologies, and there is structures built upon these falsehoods, then as sure as the sun rises in the morning, they will fall to pieces and be destroyed, and those who support them will be destroyed with them. There is nothing surer than that. That has been seen from time immemorial, but man will not take heed. He's still blind, caught up in his idea, caught up in his belief, caught up in the external. And all the reactions to these conditions build the structure of his thought, which is false. Unless you can see the false, you will never see the true. Never. When you live in the ever-present life, giving expression to it, you will have a power and faith that nothing can shake. Everyone is born with desire for achievement, because life is always expressing itself. Where there is wisdom and love, there the mighty power of the ever-present life is revealed. Thus we are endowed with the ability to realize our unity with the Creator of all things. Therefore, whatever we ask knowingly, we shall receive, for this is the law of creation. Craving ignorantly is doubt and contradiction. Is it not so that the greatest fallacy of the human race is that they're always concentrating on lack, a feeling of separation. But if you get behind the individual and there begin to realize that which is common to every one of us, the life which sustains you and me, being the only creative power there is, and contains everything, then you have no lack, you have everything. For the very life that gives form, that creates form, that you are seeing now before yourselves, I see before myself. Therefore, if I look to the human, look to the individual, I see separation. But that is the senses. The senses reveal certain things to me, to my mind. And as the senses reveal those things, I build up the image of what I see in front of me. But that is an illusion. Not to say that you do not exist, but I am creating an image of you in my mind because it's only light vibrations I receive into my mind. I don't see you, I see the light vibrations which are reflected from you, therefore I build the image in my own mind. Therefore the senses reveal a sense of separation. When you discern this fact and you get behind, there is an inner wisdom, an inner understanding, that becomes aware of a life that is not separated, but a life that is eternal, ever-present, and is common to you and me, and which is the only reality there is. But can I realize this while my mind is caught up in everything that the senses reveals to it? If my mind is caught up in reaction to things external to the self, and all these other things that fill the mind? Can I begin to realize that which is behind? Of course I cannot. What have you to do? In the first place, you've got to understand yourselves, understand your thinking process, understand what's happening. When we plant a seed in the ground, we leave the rest, the intelligence to reproduce its kind. And you know that there will be an abundance. The seed is reproduced in the exact image of itself, in abundance. So it is with our thought when we understand the same law is in operation both in the seed and in man's mind. Then I have the capacity to plant the seed in the infinite mind if I know what I am doing. But then Jesus says, I go away and leave the seed. When a man sows his seed, he goes away and leaves it. The rain comes and waters it. And while he sleeps, it grows. So it does with the infinite mind. But how are you to plant a seed in the infinite mind that is going to grow? If I have in my consciousness, which is double, if I have in my consciousness a belief it will grow and I doubt it will not grow, is it not so that I am contradicting myself? And it is like placing a seed in the oven, it is burnt up, it doesn't grow. I plant it in the ground and nothing happens. Is that not so that I do with the same seed in my mind when I burn it up through the contradiction in my mind? How can it grow? It cannot grow, it's impossible. But with my true understanding, my conscious awareness of all that is relative. And I have now become a consciousness free from any antagonism, free from any duality, free from any influence whatsoever. And the freer my consciousness is, the more likely is that seed to grow. But when I plant the seed, do I come and look at it again to see if it is growing? Do I tear it up and look to see if the roots are there? That is doubt. No, I go away. And faith, knowing, comes into operation and waters it, and it grows while I sleep. It comes to maturity, sooner or later, but I am no longer doubtful. I am no longer worried about the effect or the result, because I know the seed will be in the exact proportion, condition, shape, size, and individuality according to that seed which I planted, so it produces its kind in abundance, because there is no lack in infinite mind. The lack is in your mind. So the seed is reproduced in the exact image of itself in abundance. So it is with our thought when we understand the same law is in operation both in the seed and in man's mind. Jesus said, "It's the Father, whoever remains in me, is performing his own deed." When we understand this truth, we will no longer put our dependence in the power of things created, but upon the power that creates. God's gift to man is faith. Faith is the substance, Paul says, and the things created is the evidence of faith. But faith is a knowing, which is the growth of the thing, which is the actual activity of the thing. The predetermined knowing of the infinite is the manifestation of you and me, is it not so? If there was no knowing, you and I could not come into operation. The fact is that I know that's an attribute of the infinite knowing. It couldn't be otherwise. The fact that I have consciousness must be an attribute of the infinite. Otherwise, I could not be conscious. Where could my consciousness come from? Not outside the infinite. That would be an impossibility. Therefore, my knowing must be infinite knowing. But if I'm caught up in fear, and faith at the same time, I have no longer any knowing. I have a belief. But is a belief knowing? Of course it's not. A belief is not knowing. Believing and disbelieving is a process of ignorance. That's all it is. When we understand this truth, we'll no longer put our dependence upon the power of things created, but upon the power that creates. Therefore, God's gift to man is faith. Faith is a substance, Paul says, and things created is the evidence of faith. We must learn to exercise this power wisely, intelligently, cooperating with the predetermined scheme of creation, knowing that our success lies in the good of all and not primarily for the self. Would it be the infinite desire to produce for the self only? No, that's the self's desire, produce for the self only. The self can produce for the self only, but the self doing so brings his own conditions, and therefore he's got to accept the conditions in which he brings into operation. Infinite, which is whole, doesn't express for the oneself only, but expresses for the whole. And if you can understand that you are the whole, you can express for the whole, and in doing so you have abundance. The faith I am speaking about is understanding faith and not ignorant faith. The invisible is made visible through faith, which is the evidence of things not yet seen. In the lives of most, experience is bought dearly because they will not take the trouble to inquire into the how of things. Although many have found this knowledge through experience, there are also many wise enough to search for this knowledge and have found it, much to their advantage and to the advantage of others whom they are asked to help. The Christ is the wisdom of God born in each one of us. It is the Word of God that existed in the beginning, and the same Word forever remains immortal in us, the flesh having no say in the matter, meaning that the flesh cannot bind the immortal Word, but this Word can and does rule all flesh when this truth is understood. Here is one of the most profound statements which I will try to make more clear to you. The Word that was in the beginning must be the Word which is eternal, and that Word is immortal. And it is said that the Word was an expression of God, and God was that Word, and the Word became flesh. The Word is the immortal thing. The Word created the flesh. It was the Word that came into operation. The Word was behind all creation. And without the Word, nothing could come into manifestation, because it was the Word that was creative. And the Word remained creative. And the Word remained immortal. The Word remained eternal. But that which it created was a manifestation, and the manifestation out of a substance of which existed before the manifestation came into operation. That substance itself you do not create. That substance itself, although relative to you and me, is a substance upon which God himself manifests and creates. Therefore, the Word that was in the beginning was God, was with God, and created the manifestation through which is known as the substance called ether, which is a basis of substance, which is the basis of every form existing in the universe, and is also the carrier of all vibrations in the universe, both in light and sound, electromagnetic or whatever you like to call it. It carries within itself and through the very pores and the walls of the atoms of the manifestation which has been created within it. And behind that substance is the Word. Have you ever seen the Word? The Word was with God, and the Word remains immortal. That is the Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God is manifested in the Son. And when you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Meaning to say that you have never seen that unknowable thing that's behind all creation. Yet you've seen the creation of it, and that unknowable thing must be within the creation. Therefore, when you have seen me, you have seen that which creates. Although you have not seen the creative principle, you have seen the creation in which the creative principle exists. But that which is creative remains immortal. If you could see that which is creative, it would become relative and would also disintegrate just the same as your body would do so. It would not be immortal. It would not remain permanent, sustaining itself as itself forever and ever. But it would become a form which would disintegrate, transform into other forms. It would be relative, just like my body is relative. But that which is within me, which gives voice, which talks, which speaks, which has the power to speak, to use the mechanism which it created for the purpose, the brain, the nerves, the system, the mouth, the tongue, and all the implements necessary to perform a word and express a word. And the mechanism that is brought into operation to express that word is tremendously delicate and intricate, only possible to be created by an infinite mind, knowing all things, understanding all things, having all wisdom, being omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. That exists in the inner realms and is manifest in the outer. There is only one substance in the universe out of which all is created. This substance is acted upon by thought. The thought takes form in that substance. This substance is abstract in nature and is acted upon by thought. Faith is the power that sustains the thought till it is reproduced in the outer or in the concrete. The concrete is but the effect and not the cause. If the cause is contradictory, the effect will be likewise. Man uses the same power in creating in his own life as the Creator uses in creating man. Yet man, by his ignorance of the mechanism of that power, produces confusion instead of harmony. The law is that the seed shall produce its kind. My word shall not return unto me void, but shall accomplish that which is sent forth to do. It brings forth exact which it has been sent forth to do. If you can understand the Master's words, and you can get behind the word itself, and see the clearness of his statements, and know the scientific understanding he had before he spoke those words, you will also be able to do the same things, because he said these words, greater things than these shall you do. So therefore my word shall not return unto me void, but shall accomplish that which is sent forth to do, means that by faith in my word, it will produce from the unseen to the seen in exact proportion as I think with understanding faith. Job said, what I feared came upon me. This is the same law put in reverse. Therefore thinking and faith or fear amounts to the same thing. When we understand fear, then we will understand faith. Yet we talk so goodly about faith, and not understanding fear, we are caught up in the net of fear, and our faith is wanting. He that hath not even that which he hath shall be taken away from him, but he that hath more shall be given unto him. This is understanding faith. So here is the law explained in a few words. When the seed is sown, the Father does the work. Our work is to be aware every moment, confidently realizing our creativeness and fulfilling the great scheme of the great architect of the universe with love and wisdom. Love and wisdom have been promised to anyone who asks in faith with never a doubt. So, you have the key to the whole thing. Love and wisdom. And is promised to anyone who asks in faith with never a doubt. The mind that is sure in this knowledge is first of all active in the asking, then becomes passive so that the work can be done. This is the link we have with the eternal, ever-present life expressing itself always in the now, not in the past or the future. The asking must be accompanied by the dominant attitude of mind that refuses to give up, refuses to fear, refuses to worry for things to come. Only seeing the creative principle acting freely, exercising its own wisdom in the manifestation of things asked for. Its own wisdom. Thinking in faith is the evidence of that which will be produced. Then the seed sown is watered by faith and understanding. The majority of people expect the worst while hoping for the best. Is this not the height of contradiction? Yet how can this be avoided? Only by understanding faith and practice. Practice makes perfect. And with all great artists, understanding and practice is the foundation of this excellence. So it is with you and me. One who can practice the truth perfectly is the greatest artist in the world. Jesus was the greatest artist in the world because he was the artist of truth. It underlies all other artistry, no matter in what direction. For without truth, there is no real artistry in any direction. Therefore, we must look into the perfect law of liberty, knowing that whatever we ask shall be done unto us. Successful experiences are not enough, for if our successes deprive us of the conscious use of faith and understanding, then we are on shifting sand. If you have a successful experience and say, I did this and I did that, and you depend upon your past experiences, you're on shifting sand. You cannot depend upon these past experiences. You can only depend on this faith that I'm trying to show you. We must see beyond experiences into that sure and stable state where the Father does the work. Then only can we think constructively and create with faith and understanding. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and with grace, and it shall be given him. But let him ask with faith, not doubting, for he who doubts is like the waves of the sea, driven by the winds and tossed. James 1:5-6. Eastern text. Benediction. O understanding faith, wherever I gaze, I see what thou hast done. Keep my mind from wandering into the bog of doubt and fear. Train my mind to hold on to thy invisible power, and my soul to speak the word that creates out of the void. Oh, may I ever remember his words, thy faith hath made thee whole. K. keep alive forever that faith that never wavers, never dies. And bless me with thy love and wisdom, O Eternal One, love and wisdom is only creative. There is no other creative thing at all. All other is illusion.